We're talking today with Kent Backus, of course, Kent, with the National Cattlemen Beef Association's D.C. office, and you're kind of the trade guru, Kent, and no shortage of issues right now out there in the world of trade. Maybe one of those top-of-mind things that you've really put a lot of energy into is the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA. I know that the call is still out there to try to get Congress to act on this thing.
Yeah, and I think with USMCA, the reality is that it's probably going to be mid-September to early October before we'll actually see this progress. You know, the House has already adjourned. The Senate's going to adjourn shortly. So I think we're probably going to see this after they return. In the meantime, we know that some of the House Democrats are still meeting with the Trump administration to try to iron out some of the issues related to labor and environment that they want to discuss. So we're hopeful that we'll see some conclusion there, because we got to get moving on this. We've got to move this agreement forward, because this is going to spill over into next year if we don't take action. And as everybody knows, during a presidential election year, you're not going to get a whole lot done anyway.
Right.
So it's going to be very important that we continue to put pressure on our elected officials so that they'll prioritize this agreement, because there's other issues they need to work on as well. But we have to make sure that trade is at the top of that list.
Seems that we're getting a lot of pressure on Congress from a lot of different directions, primarily in favor. But I know there are some distractors as well that want to drag their feet and or reopen the entire deal.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you have a major bill that moves forward, you're always going to have people that try to tack on things here and there when they've either failed to get those in an underlying bill, or they just see it as an opportunity to, you know, to hitch a ride on something. You know, that we're seeing this with some attempts to try to bring back mandatory country of origin labeling. I strongly doubt that's going to actually go anywhere. The administration has opposed bringing that into the conversation since the very beginning, and quite frankly, because there's a WTO case that authorizes Canada and Mexico to retaliate up to $1 billion on the United States. There are other ways for us to market our products. In the private industry, we do a much better job of doing that than the federal government. But there's still people who believe in that, even though it has failed us many times, and they're trying to bring it back.
Right.
But, you know, we're hopeful that, you know, as these negotiations with House Democrats start to wrap up, that they'll focus on the things that matter the most, and they're not going to try to bring back some of these failed policies. I don't think the likelihood is going to be that strong, but nevertheless, there are still people trying to bring it back. But the more people try to attach to this bill, the harder it will be to actually move through Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Because while a handful of people may support mandatory country of origin labeling, there's an overwhelming amount of elected officials who strongly oppose it. So this is not going to be an easy thing if they try to attach that. So I just don't think the likelihood's there. At the same time, the longer this bill is delayed, mm-hmm, the harder it's going to be to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to pass the USMCA first if we're going to move forward with agreements with the Japanese and with some other markets. Keep in mind, our trade negotiators are busy all through August and into the fall. Even though Congress may be taking a break and may be home, the rest of the government's still working.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be negotiating with a lot of these leading export markets. And they're all looking at Congress to see if there's a strong likelihood they'll actually pass this agreement. When you look at Japan, we're in strong negotiations with them right now. In the beef industry, that's our number one market. We certainly need to level the playing field. We're way behind all of our competitors as far as our tariff rates go. But we're not going to be able to do that if the USMCA is not moving forward. The Japanese already got burned once with the United States walking out of TPP. They're not going to get burned twice. So if it looks like Congress is not going to be able to pass the USMCA, then I would doubt the Japanese would want to move forward with these negotiations, and that hurts all of us. So it's important that we clear the decks with USMCA, we move this forward, we pass this bill, and then let's start moving forward with all these other trade agreements that are waiting in the wings, because we're going to continue to fall behind if we don't take action.
What is the key for the Trump administration to go ahead and officially transmit USMCA to the Hill and start the clock ticking?
You know, I think if I could answer that question directly, I would be in a much higher position where I am. I think the obvious things are the Democrats certainly want some guarantees. They want some guarantees on the enforceability of the labor and environment provisions. And I think you're going to see more discussion about enforcement. And to the Trump administration's credit, what they negotiated in the USMCA is probably one of the most progressive trade bills we've ever seen. It's the labor and environment provisions are even more progressive than TPP. So it's not that they're not saying the right things. It's that the Democrats want to make sure that we can actually enforce it on the tail end. It's not just a paper agreement, but there's some actual teeth to it. So these trade bills are complicated anyway. So we know that USTR, the administration, are trying to work with the Democrats to show them how this will be enforceable and to give them the guarantees they need. And until they can do that, it's going to be really tough for Speaker Pelosi to line up all the votes that are needed to move this forward. Then again, on the Republican side, you still have a few holdouts. You still have some that are unwilling to take positions because of they want to see provisions on seasonality, you know, especially with fruit and vegetable guys in the Southeast. They're still trying to get some kind of protections. The concern we have there, not that we don't have any concerns about, you know, our people being disadvantaged, our fruit and vegetable people, but honestly, some of the seasonality proposals that have been discussed in the past, if that were reciprocated by Canada and Mexico, who do you think they're going to target? It's going to be beef and pork and poultry. Mm-hmm. So we got to make sure that anything that is put together is going to be beneficial for everyone involved. And I think we have the right people at the negotiating table. We have the right people working on this. Ambassador Lighthizer's got a really good team of experts and people that understand the legal intricacies of trade deals. And so they're trying to explain as much of that as possible to these members of Congress. So I think we're making a lot of progress there.
Okay. You alluded to Japan. I know that there's indications that we've got some actual Japanese officials coming to D.C., wanted to, you know, to talk about these things. And there's been a lot of, you know, some I guess, speculation out in the general media that we might get a kind of a mini deal with the Japanese sooner rather than later on automobiles and on beef.
Yeah, you know, I think we would certainly welcome any kind of improved market access into Japan. And we're glad that the administration has prioritized agriculture, including beef. Because they realize the significance of that market. They've talked about having possibly a two-step approach to this where you would have a smaller agreement and then lead that to a larger agreement later on. We're still trying to figure out exactly how all that works and what would be included. But I think the reality is, if the Japanese don't see Congress progressing, then they may have some hesitation to move forward on some things. It's not the Japanese don't want to do trade deals with the United States. It's that they have political ramifications as well. And if it looks like they've negotiated in good faith and yet Congress, if Congress is needed to be involved in this decision, if Congress fails to act on it, then what were they doing? You know, why can't they just go and negotiate somewhere else? So the inaction of Congress actually undermines our negotiators. And so this USMCA thing is much bigger than just this agreement. It is a strong message to the entire world of how serious the United States takes trade and how much we're going to prioritize it. And we need to show that the entire government, not just portions of it, are pushing for trade.
I know that there's been kind of often, I've heard a couple of times anyway over maybe the last 3 months or so, that there might be a way to get something done with the Japanese without necessarily going to Congress. Is that even a possibility?
You know, I think that there's always possibilities when you look at some of these trade laws. I think that Congress will be involved to a certain extent, no matter how they approach this. If it means we're going to go through the full Trade Promotion Authority process and do a full-on trade agreement, then Congress is definitely involved. But Congress has oversight over these agencies as well. And anytime agencies try to act without keeping Congress in the loop, it usually blows up in their face. So I think whatever the case, Congress will have some level of engagement. We're still trying to see exactly how this will work, because we would like an agreement that would just move as quickly as possible. And, you know, unfortunately, Congress takes a very long time to move on many things. And so, I think if there is a way to move forward with a trade agreement, or to move forward and lower our tariff rates and give us that guaranteed access in the Japanese market without having to go through the full process, I mean, we would certainly entertain it. We just haven't really seen exactly how that would work. At the same time, I think we want to make sure that whatever deals are negotiated are enforceable in the long term. And that it's not just words on paper, but it's going to be meaningful long-term access for our producers. And I don't think the administration would negotiate anything half-heartedly or anything that wouldn't be enforceable. And we'll see what they roll out here hopefully soon. The important thing is that we keep supporting these negotiations and we keep supporting this progress, because if we start to shift our priorities elsewhere, that means that the Japanese will also shift their priorities elsewhere. They'll have to. Mm-hmm. And so this is important. This is a very important time in trade world, because not only are we trying to get a trade agreement through Congress, we're also trying to be as helpful as possible in facilitating trade access in many other markets. But they're all looking to see what's going to happen on the USMCA. Right.